Meanwhile,
her parents grew old in tears and anguish as word of what had happened spread far and wide. Her older sisters learned everything, so, grieving and dressed in mourning, they left their homes and went to their elderly parents to see them and comfort them. That same night, the groom, whom Psyche could touch, though invisible, and whose voice she could hear, spoke to Psyche in this way.
Psyche, sweetest and dearest wife, a cruel fate threatens you with mortal danger. Therefore, you must be very careful, taking every precaution. Your sisters are worried and think you are dead, but they are searching for you and will soon reach this rock too. You, if by chance you hear their cries, do not respond. Indeed, do not bother to see them at all. Otherwise, you will cause me great pain, and it will be complete ruin for you.
Psyche agreed, promising to do as he wished. But when her husband vanished with the darkness, the poor girl spent the entire day in tears and laments, repeating to herself that she truly felt finished now, because locked in a gilded prison and deprived of all human contact, she could not even comfort her sisters. Indeed, she could not even see them. That day she did not even attempt to cheer herself up with baths, food, or anything else, but, weeping desperately, she abandoned herself to sleep. After a while, her husband arrived earlier than usual, stood beside her while she was still weeping, embraced her, and said,
"Are these, then, my Psyche, your promises? What should I expect from you now? Indeed, what can I hope for?" I am your husband. You never stop weeping, neither day nor night, nor even in my arms. Do as you wish then, and obey what your desire commands, doing your own harm. You will remember my serious warning when it's too late, and you will have to regret it.
Thus, by begging and pleading with her husband and threatening death, unless her wishes were granted, she obtained the consent she desired, to see her sisters again, to comfort them, and to exchange affectionate words with them. He yielded to his bride's prayers, and even allowed her to give her sisters all the gold and jewels she desired. But at the same time, he also warned her, trying to frighten her, telling her not to listen to her sister's malicious insinuations, who would suggest she seek out his identity, if she did not want, through such sacrilegious curiosity, to fall from the heights of happiness to the depths of misfortune, losing her intimacy with him forever. Psyche thanked him, and now overjoyed said,
"May I die 1,000 times rather than lose you, my sweetest husband. For I love you, whoever you are. I love you desperately. I love you more than myself, and I would not exchange you even for Cupid himself. But I beg you for one more thing. Command Zephyr, who has proven himself your servant, to bring me my sisters by the same means by which I came here."
And alternating kisses with sweet words and clinging to him with all her limbs, she mingled with her caresses these barely whispered words.
"My sweetest, my husband, sweet soul of your Psyche."
The husband quickly yielded, even against his will, to the strength and sweetness of those seductively whispered words and promised to do as she wished. Then, as dawn was near, he disappeared from his bride's arms. The sisters' visit. Meanwhile, the sisters, who had been shown the place and the rock where Psyche had been abandoned, rushed there in great haste, and having arrived there, began to weep and beat their chests, so much so that the stones and rocks resounded with their constant screams of pain. They called their wretched sister by name.
Psyche!
Until, frightened by the shrill, plaintive cries echoing down the slope, Psyche left the house, beside herself with anxiety, and said,
"Why do you toil in vain with these heart-rending screams? I am here. Here I am. It is I whom you mourn. Enough of these mournful laments. Enough of these tears that wet your cheeks. Dry your faces, for now you will be able to embrace the one you mourned as if dead."
Then she called Zephyr and told him her husband's order. He immediately obeyed the command and with a slight gust of wind carried the sisters down safely. And then they began to kiss and hug each other with great affection. And the tears that had previously subsided also returned, but this time they were tears of joy.
"Come in, come in,"
said Psyche.
"This is my house. I live here now. Console your broken soul with your Psyche."
So saying, she led them to see the riches of that golden house and made their ears ring with the many voices always awaiting her commands.
"Come in, ladies. Take a seat. We'll prepare you a nice hot bath and then a banquet fit for queens."
Through them, she refreshed them with a delicious bath and the magnificence of a table that seemed spread for the gods. Then, when they had thoroughly satiated themselves with that abundance of divine food, a pang of envy began to fester in their hearts. Finally, one of the two, unable to contain her curiosity, began to insistently ask who owned such superhuman riches, who her husband was, and what he looked like. Psyche was careful not to violate her husband's prohibition in any way, and jealously guarded the secret of her heart. But to say something, she invented that he was a very handsome young man, his cheeks lightly shaded by his first beard, usually busy hunting on mountains and plains.
"He only comes back in the evening."
Then, fearing that she might commit some imprudence by continuing to speak, and fearing that she might let slip what she had promised to keep secret, she lavished her sisters with gifts of worked gold and jeweled necklaces, and, summoning Zephyr, entrusted them to him to carry them away.